Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
The short one-chapter epistle of Philemon serves a special purpose in the divine revelation of the Holy Scriptures. It shows the equality in eternal life and divine love of all the members in the body of Christ. Please stay right here for the next half hour because we have a real treat from the book of Philemon. This is Matt Miller, and Bill Lawson is with me to share this treat with you. Bill, we've got a sweet program today, don't we?
Very much so. This is really a marvelous little epistle of only 25 verses, but it contains a lot.
Bill, I think it's going to be a surprise to many of our listeners, and we're only going to have 2 life studies on it today and tomorrow. I really hope the listeners will stay with us because I think it'll be a surprise, the message in this book of Philemon. And I'd like to ask you to introduce it for our listeners.
Okay, very good, Matt. Of course, in this brief epistle, we have to realize Paul is in prison, in bonds, in Rome. And by the Lord's sovereignty, one of the runaway slaves, Onesimus of Philemon, who lives in Colossae, which is today's Turkey, Onesimus runs away from Philemon, his master, ends up somehow in Rome. We don't know how he got to Rome, but he ends up in the Roman prison, the same prison where Paul was.
Amazing.
I mean, Matt is amazing. Of course, it's the Lord's sovereignty. And then Paul, by begetting Onesimus, he ministers Christ to him. He announces Christ to him in a very probably low-key way. Onesimus receives the Lord, becomes a brother in Christ, just like Paul. So Paul is very wise. Paul has to take care of both Onesimus and Philemon.
And Philemon was an elder in the church in Colossae,
right,
who had been saved directly under the Apostle Paul when he was in Colossae.
Right. So Paul brought Philemon to the Lord, and then he brings Onesimus to the Lord, who is the slave of Philemon. It's amazing. So in this short 25 verses here, you really see, as you mentioned earlier, it talks about the believer's equal status in the new man. That means in the new man, in Christ, the corporate new man, there's no bond, there's no free, there's no circumcision, there's no uncircumcision. We are all equal in Christ, and equally we should share the same love and concern for one another.
Interestingly, Bill, the epistle that Paul wrote to Colossae was where he said the verse you just quoted in chapter 3, verse 11, which was written the same time as the epistle to Philemon. They were both written from the prison in A.D. 64.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's hard to look at Philemon without also looking at the epistle to the Colossians. Well, let's join Witness Lee for today's life study. I hope you'll stay with us. It'll be a real treat.
Now we come to Philemon. The title of this message is A Slave Reborn to Be a Brother. How could a slave be reborn to be a brother? This was through the preaching of the gospel. The Apostle Paul was a person, regardless in what situation. He was always carrying out the preaching of the gospel. He even told us that his imprisonment was a furtherance of the gospel. In Philippians, we see even the whole praetorium, that is the royal guard of Nero, the whole royal guard, Saul, not only heard his preaching, even saw him preaching. Then some of the royal family got saved. Not only so, this letter shows us that a slave who was a co-prisoner with Paul got saved through Paul. Paul preached the gospel to this slave, not as today's Christian's preaching. Today's Christian preaching is too loose, too light. he considered his preaching a kind of begetting. I begot a child. Today Christians only say we win the souls. But Paul says he begot a child. His preaching was a child bearing, was a begetting process. He was one of the parents to beget a child. This means in his preaching, he ministered, he imparted something into the slave that made the slave to him a child, and to all the Christians a brother. We all have to realize when we preach the gospel, we must preach it in this way, in a begetting way, in a way to impart the divine life, that is Christ, into this one to whom we are preaching the gospel.
Bill, let's stop right here and talk about the difference between winning souls, which is a common term used in today's gospel campaigns, and the Apostle Paul's terminology in Philemon verse 10, which is, my child, whom I have begotten in my bonds, Onesimus. What's the difference, Bill?
Paul here is talking about a begetting kind of life. As Brother Lee mentioned, today, with many Christians, we only hear the term soul winning in regards to evangelization many times. But Brother Lee here, you know, really makes a distinction between the kinds of gospel that we preach. A lot of the Christian work today, as we know it, is carried out in big evangelical campaigns and meetings and so on, where a good number may be won over to Christ, but it's not so much in the realm of the begetting of the divine life in one into another to produce that one as a child of God. And here, Paul, while in prison, he begot Onesimus. In other words, the very life of God in Paul, the triune God indwelling Paul, was ministered directly into Onesimus, and the divine life was imparted into his spirit to regenerate him, to make him a child of God and a member of the body of Christ. So there, I would say, is quite a difference, Matt, between the kind of gospel that we preach. In my particular background, when I was in high school, I was brought to the Lord, and we went to jails in my home city of Gary, Indiana, and we got into soul winning, trying to bring the juvenile delinquents to the Lord, and we were somewhat successful. But on the other hand, it was mainly a soul winning thing. There was not the thought of the life that was within us could be imparted into another, and that life could make that person a child of God and even a member of the body of Christ. So this is, I think, what Brother Lee's trying to say here.
Well, it's interesting, Bill, that you did that when you were in high school. When I was a young believer, I also went to juvenile hall and preached the gospel in the same way to win young, troubled kids to the Lord. And it was the same kind of thing. It was not with the concept of imparting life into them. It wasn't in the concept of making them a son of God as much as it was, how can I save that person from hell? How can I save them from eternal destruction? There's
right.
More to salvation than that, isn't there?
Really so. The more you talk, Matt, I'm reminded of Paul's epistle to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul talks about that the Corinthians had many teachers, maybe 10,000 guides, 10,000 teachers, but he said, you do not have many fathers. And then he explains, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. That means Paul considered himself the spiritual father of the Corinthian believers, because Paul imparted the divine life and nature into those Corinthians to make them the church.
Well, he wasn't only a father to the Corinthians, he was also a father to Philemon, the master, and also a father to Onesimus, the slave. And as we'll see, the story goes on from there. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
After he begat this child, he didn't throw him to the street that others pick up to take care as an orphan. No, he kept this child, and he loved the child, and this child was so dear to him. He called this child my heart. My heart. He is my heart. I think some of you mothers when you delivered a dear child whom you love so much, that little child is your heart. If I take that little child from you, that means I just snatch out your heart. Do you have this kind of a sensation concerning someone whom you brought to the Lord? Or you don't have much? Paul had. You see, Paul considered Onesimus not only a child to him, but that is his heart. Philemon, now I send my child to you. You have to realize what I sent to you. I sent my heart to you. What a concern. I must say, even some parents, they don't consider the flesh children as their heart. They consider, well, God gives me the child, I have to take it. I have no choice. And this is my duty. I cannot throw away. And the Christians who bring people to the Lord, their attitude, their concern toward these ones is even less than this. But Paul was different. Have you seen Paul's concern for a saved one? Paul had such a loving concern to his child. Yet he realized he was not the right person to keep this child. This child had to go back because he was a slave and he escaped from his master. So Paul sent this escaping slave back to his master. And this made Paul appeal to Philemon's love. Verse 9, because of love, I rather entreat you. I appeal to you. I appeal to your love. That you have to receive this dear child of mine. He is my heart. You have to receive him. I feel this is too good.
Bill, I agree with Witness Lee that this situation is just too good. You've got Onesimus, a runaway slave who gets caught, puts in a jail in Rome, gets saved by the Apostle Paul, and who sends him back to Colossae and tells Philemon that this is his heart, one so intimate to him. What a tender situation here.
It is really tender and very delicate. No doubt in verse 12, Paul writes, him I have sent back to you, him, that is my very heart. The Greek word heart here has a number of meanings, and it includes tender-heartedness, it includes our very bowels or our deepest inward thoughts. So Paul is trying to relate to Philemon that he should receive Onesimus as even receiving Paul's very heart, that Onesimus represents Paul's deepest inward affections and love. This is a very tender and delicate a situation here.
And he's a slave.
Right, exactly. And Paul realizes he has to send Onesimus back, even though Onesimus now is everything to him. Onesimus is considered his very own child, yet he realizes to rectify the situation, to make sure everything is okay with Philemon, Paul has to send Onesimus back to Philemon. Yet he entreats and he draws on Philemon's love.
You know, Bill, I think if Caesar Nero himself had been saved by the Apostle Paul when he was in Rome, it wouldn't have the meaning that Onesimus, an unknown, at the time a seemingly worthless human being, treated almost like an animal the slaves were then, is called by the Apostle Paul, the very one who Philemon looked up to so much. He was an elder in the church. He was a leader in Colossae. He had probably other slaves as well. Yet Paul was telling him, he is so tender and intimate to me. This must have made a deep impression on Philemon.
Right. Very, very deep impression. No doubt when Onesimus came back to Philemon with the Paul's epistle with him, Philemon's love must have just been stirred up to the uttermost to care and cherish and nourish Onesimus, even though he owned him and could have put him to death. So this really shows Paul's heart of love. Because we have the divine life, we all have this heart of love, and we all have this the divine life within us that expressed in love.
You know, in the old man, this matter of rank is very important. But in the new man, there's no rank. There is no difference between Jew and Greek, barbarian. That's what Colossians 3:11 says. There's no slave, there's no free man. It seems like this divine arrangement was so critical to the release of this one truth. This truth came out of this one experience. Philemon must have been deeply impressed by this matter. He never looked at his slave in the same way again.
Right. This is a real picture, again, of the new man, where we all have an equal status. We all have the life of Christ. We all have the love of Christ. And this is how the early believers were able to fellowship with one another outside of that realm of master and slave.
Tomorrow we're going to get into this story a little more and how it relates to the new man, so we'll stop there for now. But let's go on to Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
Paul was too good a pattern, an example for us. We have to bring a sinner to the Lord in such a high way, begetting him with the divine life, considering him a child, even just like our heart, and helping him to get himself fully rectified in all his relationships in the flesh. And this is a good point, that when we bring any sinner to the Lord, we have to help them to rectify his relationship in the flesh. If he offended his parents, we have to do something, helping him to get himself reconciled to his parents. Or if she's wrong with her husband, we have to help them to do something, to get the proper rectification done. This is the principle. We send back the escaped slave. We send back the divorced wife. We rectify their relationship in the flesh with all kinds of relatives. We should do this. And when we do this, we must do it with a very loving concern, appealing to the other party's love. Then, lastly, you must do something to help this dear saved one as your child to get into the church life. This was what Paul, by that time, was doing the best to bring Onesimus into the church life. He was a slave. Now he's more than a slave, but a brother in the Lord. So now, as I have begotten him, and as I have brought him into the Lord, I must bear the responsibility to bring him into the fellowship of the members of the body. That is to bring him into the church life.
My goodness, Bill, can you imagine that if everyone who believed into the Lord was cared for in the way that Onesimus was cared for by the Apostle Paul, what the situation would be like in the church today? Is this even possible?
Wow, like you say, Paul did a masterful job in not only begetting Onesimus, bringing him to Christ, but taking care of him and making sure that Onesimus was shepherded, was cared for, and also that even if Onesimus had any problems, and if we look in the epistle to Philemon, probably Onesimus did have some problems, because Paul mentioned, you know, Philemon, if he has wronged you in anything, if he owes you something, that Onesimus may have fled as a thief, stealing some valuable things from Philemon. So Paul is trying to shepherd Onesimus, telling him when he comes back, he should rectify the situation. This is not a small thing. It's one thing to bring someone to Christ. It's another thing to care for them, right? To shepherd them, to nourish them, to take care of their proper human life. They probably have a lot of problems. They maybe have debts. They may have done things unrighteously, illegally. They may have moral problems, whatever. But it's one thing to continue to shepherd someone, to bring that one fully into the fellowship of the body of Christ.
It must have not only been hard for Philemon to receive Onesimus, it must have been hard for Onesimus to go back to Philemon, knowing, as you said, he had probably taken something valuable. Because of verse 18 that you just quoted, he says, if he has wronged you in anything or owes you anything, it implies he did. Paul told Philemon, charge that to my account. I, Paul, have written with my own hand, I will repay, not to say to you that you owe me even your own self besides. What a situation. It's just an incredible situation. Philemon really needed to be taken care of in this way, or he would have had a hard time receiving back Onesimus.
Right. Paul is a real pattern. And as you said earlier, can you imagine what would be the Christian situation today on this earth if every believer were taken care of properly like the way Paul took care of Onesimus? I mean, there would be just a spiritual revolution. It would be wonderful. But I think we need to do what we can do. And even I was considering in Luke chapter 10, the Lord there is a good Samaritan. He found that one who was beaten and half dead, and he went to him. He poured in oil and wine. He even put him on his own beast. And then the Lord took him to the inn. Of course, the inn there, it typifies the proper church, and even told the innkeeper to take care of this Samaritan. So even the Lord in Luke chapter 10 is a real pattern, and no doubt Paul followed that pattern when he wrote to Philemon. It's a real example for us.
It reminds me of a story, Bill. I visited someone who had been out of fellowship with the church. They were out of fellowship with the Lord. Their marriage had fallen apart. They had left their wife, had gotten into a relationship with someone else. It was a very bad situation, and I was just burdened for the brother. And I visited him, and after a period of time of meeting with him and having over a period of a few months, he told me he wanted to come back to the Lord and back to the church. It was too awkward for me, so I fellowshiped with an older brother, an elder with more gray hair than I have, and he ended up telling this brother, and it was helpful for me. I got some training personally on how to handle these situations. He said the same thing that Witness Lee said. He said, we have to rectify the situations. With Onesimus, Witness Lee said, we send back the runaway slave. And that was eventually what the message was to this brother. If you want to come back to the Lord, if you want to come back to the church, you need to come back to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a hard pill for him to swallow. But by the Lord's mercy and a lot of prayer, eventually this particular brother did come back to his wife. But I have to say, it's not that easy to come back to your wife for the wife. For the wife to receive him back is not that easy either, because she's been hurt and devastated. And so the brother went to the wife in the same way that Paul went to Philemon, and telling her, you need to open your heart. And so it was a real shepherding, an example that's very similar to this picture that we see with Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus. Bill, we've run out of time. Thanks for joining me today.
This is a marvelous portion.
Well, I hope you'll agree that this really is a special portion. I hope you'll never look at the book of Philemon the same again. I know I haven't, and I know I don't think I ever could again. It's a story that I hope will be a pattern for myself in how I preach the gospel to beget those, and I also put them in my heart and care for them inwardly and tenderly, not just wishing that I didn't have anything to do with them. Well, if you'd like to get more information from us on how to get these printed materials, you can call us at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Or you can write to Living Stream Ministry, P.O. Box 2121, Anaheim, California. Or just send an email to radio@lsm.org. Please come back and join us tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss part two of Philemon. It's a great program. And I guarantee you that if you tune in, it's going to be worth your time. On behalf of Bill Lawson, this is Matt Miller. Thank you for listening.
And break and build to
The Gospel of John unveils the New Testament reality of the types of Christ conveyed in the Old Testament tabernacle and offerings. The reality of the five main offerings in Leviticus serve as the examples in the first 12 chapters of John, and in chapters 13 through 17, the Gospel of John unveils the New Testament reality of the type of the tabernacle. The fulfillment of the tabernacle and the offerings in the writings of John is now available. Get your copy today by calling 1-800-549-5164. That's 1-800-549-5164.